Perhaps we can look to the Lord in a word of prayer. And our God and Father, thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you for your word, your work. Take our little hearts and heads and minds and help us that we'd be the immediate beneficiaries of being in your presence on your day for your honor and your glory. And our Lord will thank you. Spirit of God, we count on you. In Christ's name, amen. If you would, in the light of our study of John chapter 15, if you would keep in mind the A, God is the Creator. There's nothing anywhere that he didn't create. Nothing. If I take God out of the picture, nothing exists. Do you understand that? If I take God out of the picture, zero exists. Zero. If you would also understand in the process that God being the only God and the only Savior, and angels and humans and all of that, and we share together in the light of Sunday school, which I can't, I wish I could repeat that for you, but I can't. But I want to get the nugget of it, a nugget of it, and that is that you'd understand that God is the only creator, therefore he's to be worshipped, Exodus 20, and nothing anywhere in any way, shape, or form that has been created is to be replaced or placed in his place. Therefore, idolatry and idolaters are wrong, and God condemns them. We share together Galatians 5, 20, 21, 20 verse in particular, that one of the works of the flesh is idolatry. Where does idolatry come from? And Ezekiel 14 comes from the heart. Are there any idols anywhere apart from your heart? No. And we share together all of the idols that are made are powerless. Buddhas and all of them, they're useless. Without a human doing something, they are no good. They are useless. You all know that. If you don't do something with pantheism or something else, it doesn't exist. Now, let's add to that religion. All religion. Where does religion come from? It comes from the heart. We create it. We create it. A Mormonism, whatever you want to have. How does Mormonism exist without you wanting, or someone wanting it to be? There is no Mormonism. There is no Jehovah's Witnesses. It just doesn't exist. God exists, and God is real and true. But all the religion, idols, where does it all come from? We create it. It's our creation. It's our theology. It's our whatever. And we believe it and we meet and honor or whatever. But you understand in the process, it won't work out. It won't come together apart from God. It just won't work. God is the creator and the only one. So when we're all done with it all, when you're all done apart from God, it doesn't work. God has to be in it in some form or fashion to make it work. Now, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, if you would, in the light of John 15, and John 15 is going to deal with what? John 15 is going to deal with the reality of what God has made possible in Christ for us. And God has made that wonderfully, wonderfully possible. And therefore, we check chapter 14 and that. We read all of those wonderful things. that God expects that for his life to be shown forth in a most wonderful way. And therefore, John chapter 14, and God said, therefore you're going to go, whatever you're going to, in chapter 14, we are going to be able to do whatever. God is going to have his continued ministry in showing his wonderful person. And in the process of showing his wonderful person, we're going to be able to have such a relationship to him that whatever we ask in his name, he shall do it. In other words, we have a should have a personal, vital, wonderful relationship to God in a most awesome, wonderful way. God expects that and does that, and he's the only one that can make it happen. Therefore, God has made it happen in the person of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who went to the cross. And in John chapter 15, that relationship becomes possible and real for us because God tells us that we're to be have such a relationship to him as the vine and the branch, and we're to have that relationship. That relationship is very real. It's very right, and that's what God wants. Now, and God, when he gets come to know the Lord, we get saved and know the Lord as our Savior. We're to grow and to know. And in the process of growing and knowing, we're going to understand our relationship needs to be worked out in a most wonderful way. So now, chapter 15, and notice, please, at the end of verse 1, verse 2, I should say, God, what are you looking for? What are you looking for in and by and from believers? I'm going to read just the last sentence, that it may, chapter 15, verse 2, that it may bring forth more fruit. A branch should bring forth more fruit, more fruit. Verse 5, the same bringeth forth much fruit. Verse 8, that you bear much fruit. So what do you know? At the very minimum, we're supposed to have fruit. Not just a little fruit, a lot of fruit. That's where the evidence comes from, that unique relationship to God. Now, and therefore, if you don't abide, look at verse 2, it needs to be purged and pruned and cared for. So the branch has to be treated in order to produce fruit from bugs and growth, faulty growth and everything, and it has to be purged. So that's a branch has to be purged or pruned. And secondly, verse 5, and verse 2, the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, no more can you. The branch can't produce any fruit if you just leave it in the ground, it has to be attached. Secondly, in verse 5, for without me you can do nothing at all. And thirdly, verse 6, if the branch doesn't produce any fruit, it's burned. Now, all of that is just clear cut, you need to abide in order to what? To have much fruit. If you don't abide, and it's absolutely essential and necessary, and if you don't do so, it won't work. It just won't work. That's all. Now, that's just a plain, simple thing he's saying, as clear and as simple as possible, if you don't abide. Now, so, and in the light of the subject of abiding, etc., we share together that wonderful practice of being a branch and abiding, and that without you, God, we can do nothing. And with you, everything. It's either one or the other. And therefore, whatever we ask in your name, and all of those wonderful, wonderful, wonderful truths are ours to be experienced and understand. But you need to abide. That is very rare, unfortunately. That is very rare. And most, for many reasons, just never get there. They just never get there in abiding. To what? To enjoy whatever you ask in my name, I'll do it. You're going to do greater things than I do. All of those wonderful things. You'll be to be triumphant etc. In all things. In all things. Always in all things, always in all things, always all, A-L-L, all things. Well, that's hard to find, you know. Us humans have a problem. So we try to address that, the reality of it. Otherwise, we just turn the page and rip it out, and essentially we don't do anything with it. We don't do anything. We just, all those parts of the Bible, we just go past them. But God never meant us to go past them. He meant them to be produced, to produce fruit, much fruit. Therefore, what should we do in reality? Therefore, we share together, we need to understand, A, at the very basic we should understand in order to be in the ballpark, in order to be in the place we should be, that when you came to know the Lord as your Savior, John 1:12, you became a child of God. That's what happened. You didn't do it, God did it. God wonderfully, wonderfully did it. So if you received the Lord as your Savior, then you became a child of God, son, a child, a born again one, child of God. And when you did that, you did that as your Savior. And when you did that, you know that you received Christ in your heart. And we're told that the wonderful, wonderful truth that is taking place even now, over, if you would please, to catch the flavor of this, over to Colossians in chapter 1. And all we're doing is making sure the simplest thing. If I don't enjoy the simplest thing, I'm never going to get to the bearing much fruit. It just isn't going to happen. And it doesn't happen. You can't show it. You can't find it. It's hard to find, I should say. Now, so here's Colossians. And in Colossians, and in chapter 1, and in Colossians chapter 1, verse 27, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery, which is a unique, wonderful thing that God is taking believers and making them have a unique relationship to himself as his body. To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. So when I received the Lord, when you received the Lord as your Savior, you received God the Son, because of God the man, Christ Jesus, made it possible for us to have a relationship to God. How was that relationship to God possible? Because of the God-man and God, not the man, but God. The man paid the price. The God makes the relationship. Now, and that relationship becomes possible and wonderful for us. Now, keep that relationship in mind, if you would. So, Christ in you. So be a son, be a child of God, and Christ in you. And over, if you would, First John. Go to First John. All I want to do is rehearse to you and myself some very wonderful basic truth that we ought to enjoy and exercise. If we don't do that, I have no idea how you could ever get to enjoy the triumphant marvel that God has put in your heart, his wonderful person, to be all in all to you. I don't know how you're ever going to get there. And you want to get there. Otherwise, I'm trying to be realistic for you. And I don't want to be religious. I hate religious stuff. I hate it. I hated it when I was raised in the Methodist Church. That doesn't mean people weren't saved in there. Just the religious system. It's a system. And the system robbed me of my Savior. It robbed me of the Scriptures. The system will rob me of my personal relationship to God and to what God actually says. And I don't want to lose that. I don't want to lose that. Now, so here, looking at all of it, I forgot where we got, 1 John. And in 1 John chapter 3, keeping in mind, if you would, in chapter 3. Let me do that a little differently. Go to chapter 5 first. 1 John chapter 5. I'll be ahead of myself. 1 John chapter 5. Now God, you make it very clear, verse 9, if we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, that he hath testified of his Son. That's what we're reading. That's why we're reading God's word. He that believeth on the Son of God, verse 10, hath, what? The witness in himself. How so? He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record, the witness that God hath given us, this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in the Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. And God, you've given us your word to tell us about the wonderful person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. We're reading it. So we understand, how are we going to attach to it? Well, who God, you gave it. You said that. You said, they that come to you must believe that you are God, that you are. And we're going to come. Now God, what else? Well, I sent my Son to die on the cross. Well, we're here we are living in so many years later. But I want you to know, I made it clear in the Old Testament that he was coming. He went to the cross and died, and he rose again. And you who are living after the cross are having witness of what? Not only the Old Testament and Israel, but you have the grand witness of an empty tomb, which is unanswerable, apart from understanding that God keeps his plan and his wonderful program, which he planned for you and for me before the foundation of the world. The Lamb of God slain before the foundation of the world. Now, I want to hang on to that. So I don't have a question of all the different proofs and everything. No, there's no question. There's no one else like you. No one else can compete with you. There's no other religion or system that can even come close to your wonderful person and your personal work on Calvary's cross. So therefore, is God, he that hath the Son hath life. Now, either you have the Son or you don't. And then you want to say, thank you, thank you, thank you. And say it even now. Now, if you have the Son as God and you received him as your Savior, verse 13, these things have I written unto you that believe. They're written, that's why we're reading them. Unto the believe, on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know, not like the first grade, second grade, third grade, not like that kind of knowing. You know whether something is hot. You know it. You just touch it and it's hot. It isn't because you have an intellectual understanding. You can actually be sort of not know nothing, see nothing, but if you touch it, it's hot, and you instinctively know it. You know you're alive, don't you, most of you? You know you're alive. That's the know. Not you're going to learn you're alive. You know you're alive. These things have I written unto you that you might know. Like you're alive, to know what? These things are written unto you that you may know that you have eternal life and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. They're written for you to know. So am I going to play with this? No, I'm not going to do anything. Either I received the Lord Jesus Christ or I didn't. And if I did, then Christ is God's home. Is now, God finds his home, his residence in my little heart and your little heart. And God said that we're child of God or son of God, and we have eternal life, and we're to know it. Now, why are we to know it? Because these things are written. I read them, the same thing. If I go read it tomorrow, it says the same thing. I go read it 10 years from now, it says the same thing. You know your name, most. Don't you know your name? And you say your name. Say, and someone, you introduce yourself, you're so-and-so, and you introduce yourself. But you've known your name, and every day you know your name because your name is the same as it was yesterday, isn't it? Most people. Your name is the same as it was 10 years ago. Your name is the same. God, I received you as my Savior. It's the same. These are written. I did that. Now, so I need to keep that in mind, if I would, so that I can move forward. Now, over to James, not very far away. In James chapter 1, what do you got? James is up front of the writers of the New Testament, God's penmen putting the New Testament together. And here's James helping them. And remember now, in verse 22, be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. So we don't want to read something, we don't even know it, don't say it. That's why we're trying to look at it. God, you've given us a wonderful exercise to be abiding, to have an awesome relationship to you that allows the fullness of your person in our person. God, us little guys, here we are. But God, you would be God to us in your magnificence, and we would just know your God. For real, not religion and not idols and not our idolatry and not our make-believe something of this. No, the reality. God, we can all disappear and you're still here. We could all shut our mouth and close our Bible and crawl under the pew. And God, you're still here. You can't do that with religion and idols. You can't do that. No, we have to sustain it to keep it going. Now, so here's James, down to verse 25 for time's sake. But whosoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein. So here we are looking at God's word, the Bible, going to read it. We're reading it, looking at it. And we're looking into it, And I see, what do I see? Well, I see these things are written, but now I see verse 25. Whosoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, and this man shall be blessed in his deed, work, deed. Now, here we are looking, God, at your word, and looking at your word, and what do we see? Well, we see what we're just talking about. We're talking about what you have done. We're talking about our relationship. Where is our relationship coming from? It's from you. How do we know? Because you tell us. How do we know? When you were a little baby and you were exited from your mother's womb and all of that, and you did that, what did you know? What on earth did you know? You didn't know anything. We could have put four big gorillas in front of you. And as far as you know, that's it. You know, whatever. Because you don't know. You have to know God. So God, how do we know? How do we know? Is the nurse, the doctor, or the floor sweeper my father? Well, you have to say something. You have to say something. You have to learn. How do we know? God, how are we going to know? We're saved. Born. Boom. Where are we going to know? From your word. That's what we're going to know. Without it, we ain't going to go anywhere. Come on. We don't want to be a deadhead, dull. You never get anywhere. And then you become just religious, and religion's sort of boring, so we got to go and zap it up with something to make it a little more exciting. But you don't have to do that when you're saved, because you're looking at an ever-present, you're in the presence of the living God, and as we look at God's word, it sets us free. So I think I'm a banana, but when I read God's word, he says, no, I'm a saved human being in the grace of God, a sinner saved by grace. Where did I know that? From God's word. If I close the Bible, what do I know? I'm saved. I'm saved. I'm a son. I'm a child of God. A new creature in Christ. I am. Aren't you? Why are you? Because God says so. So we aren't sitting there and trying to feel something or understand something with great intellect. No, no. We're to know. No, instinctively. Just know it. Just know it. Why? Because God said it. And the Spirit of God, you read in 1 John, the Spirit of God is bearing witness in your heart as you read the Word of God that it's God, you're real. There's no question. All I got to do is look at the flowers. Look at each other. Look at our bodies, our magnificence, how your hand is made. How your brain with zillions of electrons floating around up there. Wow. Wow. More than a computer could ever be. Wow. Now, God, here we are looking. So having got that little bit and having that in mind, so, A, how do you see yourself? If you're saved, how do you see yourself? It's very important that you identify where you are, who you are, what you are. Are you really saved? How do you see yourself? How do others see you? Is it clear enough to you? How do others see you? As a churchgoer or as a Christian saved person, a believer, one of those funny people that believe that God is in their heart? Are you one of those funny people? Well, how do others see you? Well, I never tell them. I never let anyone know. No one knows I'm saved. That's wonderful. Wow. Now, so God, how do others see you? Well, so it's very important how you see yourself and how others see you. And why? Because what's going to happen? Well, people are going to ask. Over, if you would. Remember, looking at, I'm trying to get you just to think. It's not feel. And not make a big intellectual work out of what God has made simple. The complexity of being born physically is awesome. And if you ever do that again, we did it a little bit, but if you do it, that body coming out, the whole system goes from the mother's system to its own system. There's no explanation for it. The whole heart changes. The whole heart, the whole everything changes in here. The baby just, and everything changes. And the baby's heart begins to do its own thing. Everything changes in it. Now, how could you? We don't have a surgeon doesn't have to go in and do it. It just happens. That's awesome. No explanation for it. God designed it. God makes it happen. Wow. Now, therefore, God, we need to understand that we're to know you as our Lord and Savior, without losing the thought again. And God, here we are looking to you to deal with us. And you've done a wonderful thing for us, but we have to learn it. We have to understand it. And we have to take your word for it. And that's how the little baby's going to know. The baby's going to know who is the father, who is the mother, etc. They're going to know that, but they have to learn it. Now, how are we going to know? Well, that's why, without losing it, in Galatians and Romans 8, the Spirit of God, what's the first thing you do for us? The first thing, a little heart, get saved, forgiveness of sin. What do you do? I come into your heart, said the Spirit of God, and my wonderful, wonderful ministry among a thousand zillion things is to what? Help you understand you have a unique relationship to the Father. And that's why I'm going to say to you on a continued basis, present tense, I'm going to say to you, Abba Father. And then I want you to say back to me, Abba Father. I want you to say it back, Father. Now, I don't know that, God, until you do it. But you, that's the first thing you do. You help me understand you're my Father. I got to start with that as a son, as a child of God. Now, and over to Psalm 42. Psalm 42. In Psalm 42, picking up if I may, in Psalm 42, may I go, directly to verse 3. In the light of it, here's the believing heart. In the process, it's a Meskel psalm. That means it's going to be used to help understand in tribulation and all of that. This is one of those. You read that psalm. That's made for you to have information when trouble comes. Now, so therefore, verse 3. Or verse 2, my soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. Living God, when shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my meat day and night. Here's the trouble, heartache, But what are people saying? People are saying to me, continually saying to me, verse 3, where is thy God? Now we share that all those times over the years. What? They didn't ask what church you go to. They didn't ask whatever. They want to know where your God is. Because that's the big issue. That's the whole point of everything. Religion, no, we don't care. But when it comes to reality, boy, religions, idols, whatever, all of that can be. And we can die for it. We can fight, go to war over it. But when it comes to God, man, we leave all of the earthly setting and have to come to the reality of your wonderful person, God. And in doing so, God, so that when the believing heart knows the Lord and is trusting God as their Savior, God, what happens? The world knows the difference. We ought to know the difference. Verse 10, as with a sword in my bones, mine enemies reproach me while they say daily unto me, where is thy God? That's what they want to know. Where is our God? Now, we got abiding and all of those. Awesome. Much fruit, but no fruit. Well, God, and we're going to at least try to get on the right track here. And God, they want to know where my God is. And my God, you save me. And I'm going to start looking to you and talking and resting in your person. God, thank you for making me saved, a child of God. Thank you for making me a new creature in Christ. God, thank you for forgiving my sin. Thank you for everything. And I'm thanking you. I'm going to at least do that. And so when the people look and listen, if they can ever listen in, if they never see it, they're going to know I'm a thankful, saved sinner. I'm thankful. Thankful to God. And I'm going to look to God with thanksgiving. At least they're going to know that. They're going to know. They want to know where my God is. And I had that, you know, all those things years ago. When I came back to my Roman Catholic environment, we were the only Protestant up in Somerville with St. Clements and all of that, all Catholic relatives and everything. And in the process of all of that, you know, and God was dealing with my heart, and I was getting rather excited more and more. And so in the process, I went back home on a little vacation or whatever to see them. And in the process, they had a big meeting. The rooms were full of the people, relatives, and they set me in the middle. They wanted to know what happened to me. That's what they wanted to know. What happened to you? What happened to you? You were raised a Methodist. What happened? What happened to you? Well, I want you to know God got a hold of my life. And I didn't, all I could, I can almost see it, feel it. All I could say is, listen, the Lord Jesus Christ is my personal Savior. And whatever else I said of like kind, and tears were in my eyes. And I had no way to give them any more explanation. And they never said a word to me the rest of my life. They never said boo about my relationship to God. Because God was my God. And they knew that. That's what they knew. Not a lot of theology, not a lot of statements. No, God was my God. Now, that's a God. Isn't that what you want for us? Absolutely. Where is your God? Where is your God? Now, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, and over, if you would, over to Second Peter. I want to give you the second part in a short, abbreviated time. I wanted the first part to make sure you know the Lord is your Savior. And you ought to be excited about knowing the Lord is your Savior. You ought to be able to stand up and say, listen, thank God he forgave my sin. I received him somewhere. They've been in whole life and they never heard a word out of you. Are you saved? No one would know it. Wow. So God, here we are looking. Now, God, the second thing, 2 Peter 3, one of the things they're going to say is, where is your God? And then the other thing they're going to say, and the other thing I want you to keep in mind, that God makes very clear, the abiding and the awesome, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me, and all of that awesome relationship. At least be a child of God and understand that and honor it. Secondly, God, what did you say so that I can even get close to anything? You told me. What are they going to say? Where is your God? Secondly, chapter 3, 2 Peter, verse 3. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lust, and saying, what are they going to say? Here we are, we're at the end of the church age. Where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. In other words, where is your, you keep telling me, you're saved. Where is your God? Secondly, you're looking for what? You aren't looking to get to be a bishop or something. You're looking for what? The imminent return of Jesus Christ to your life. That's the second thing. That's it. You're saved, looking to be with him. And that's the turn of pages. We're looking. Let me do just a little so you can see it. Wonderful, wonderful. Over to 1 Thessalonians. A thousand ways. We can't even do. Time goes by. Do you know when the Lord takes us home, there is no more time. So you won't need a watch, etc., or a battery. You won't need anything. But I want you to know, you won't know what to do because there is no more time. So you can't get bored and you can't get tired because there is no more time. You're going to be endlessly tireless forever. Do you understand that? So when you're tireless, when you sit here and say, I'm getting tired, I'm getting tired, I understand all that. But you won't never get tired again. Do you understand? You can think perfectly, feel perfectly, and have no time. Just stay that way. It's timeless. Timeless. See? And the Lord could say, listen, I'm going to talk to you. I'm going to use time again. Then you can't. I'm going to talk to you. I have a few things to say for you. I'm going to take about 7 million years. Is that all right? 7 million years? You won't even know it. It'll be a second. You will never know the difference between 7 million years or my presence. You'll never know the difference. That's awesome. Now, but 1 Thessalonians, God, are you looking? What are we supposed to be doing? A, we should know we're saved and enjoy being saved. Secondly, why don't you enjoy looking for the next thing God made pertinent, top dollar? You're looking for my return. Remember when he finished, I don't have time to do all this, with the Apostle John? Remember we read in Peter, they said 2 Peter, before he dies, where is the promise of his coming? And what did Peter know? Well, Peter, back John 21, John, he wanted to know, well, what happens? I'm going to get crucified, said Peter. Well, what's going to happen to John? And the Lord Jesus said to him, very simply, in two statements, he said, listen, if you don't mind, I'm going to have John stay alive until I come. Now, that didn't mean 3,000 years. That could have meant 3 days. He said, I want you to know, I can come at any moment. And that's what John needs to know, and you need to know, Peter. At any moment, I could come. That's the thing he told them right off. To encourage his heart. To encourage Peter's heart. I could come at any moment. That's right. Now, God, is that, that's true. Oh, God, I want to understand that. So here we are in the body, work, home, school, pain, headache, heartache, the world conditions, people's attitudes, thinking, our old nature, idolatry, and all the stuff is everywhere. We live in the middle of it. But in a moment of time, I'm out of it. I'm looking for what? His coming. That's what he said. Be saved and look for my coming. Now, but we no one thinks like that anymore. They believe like Peter. Where is the promise? He hasn't come. He hasn't come. He hasn't come. He's not coming. And the church's people, God help us all, don't believe. They aren't believing. They don't even say it. They don't think it. And they certainly don't live it. How are you going to live through your pain, your work, your job, growing up? What happens? God, at any moment, you're going to rescue us from our earthly journey to be with you. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and in verse 10. I'm going to read verse 9, helpful. For they themselves, the Thessalonian believers, had a wonderful testimony. For they themselves, 1 Thessalonians 1, 9. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how you turned to God from idols, to serve the living and true God. And, well, that's A, we got that part, got to be saved. B, and to waiting, for the Son, for his Son out from heaven, heaven's plural, out from the heavens, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. Well, you were waiting. We got saved from our idolatry, and we're waiting. Well, now, and so the Spirit of God, I won't even do, just do this. Chapter 2, you know, here's the God, Spirit of God writing, and he's writing right up front here, like James, Thessalonians, up early on, and in history. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 19. For what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ? At his what? At his coming. At his coming? We're waiting for his coming. That's what we're doing. We're waiting for his coming. That's what we're doing. We're waiting for it. Well, what's going to be exciting? Because I'm going to find you there. When the trumpet sound, boom, you're going to go up and not stay. That's exciting. That's exciting. Now, go a little further, or chapter 3. The end, verse 13. To the end that he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even from our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. So you say something, and then you remind us, what's the encouragement of the Thessalonians? He's coming. And then, chapter 4, he goes into detail, verse 13 to 18. And without reading all that, just to get the idea, verse 15, for this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive on planet earth and remain shall be caught up. The word caught up is force, power. That's where the rapture, but that isn't the word rapture, but that's where the rapture. To be caught up, to be taken up with force, to be grabbed up out of the situation. Remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air, so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words. Now, God, are you finished? No. Chapter 5. You're going to do it again. I am. I want you to know. Verse 23. For the very God of peace sanctify, set you apart holy. I pray, God, for your whole spirit, not for part of it, your whole body, your whole soul and body, be preserved blameless. Oh, God, what do you want? You want us to be healthy, wealthy, and wise. That is, we're looking to you, God, as your children. We're looking to you because you said to look for your coming. So God, we're going to be conscious of that no matter what, no matter who, no matter when, no matter where. God, we're going to be conscious. And therefore, we're going to be what? Presented blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, God. You're going to do most wonderful, 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 wonderful. So God, here we are walking and waiting. God, and what are we going to do? You know that all these wonderful things. Think of 1 John 1:7. You know, if we, you turn there. I want you to see it. You know it. You could quote it for me. But do it. Do it. 1 John 1:7. If we walk in the light, as children of the light, as we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son. When you get dirty, you can go to the shower. Does it say that? It doesn't say that. No. You can't walk in this body with your old nature, which is Galatians 5:19-20-21, which includes idolatry. You can't walk in this body without producing all of that. Then how am I going to ever get along with God when I'm like that? How am I going to abide? I'm going to have to understand that I'm going to walk in the light. And the wonderful person and work of Jesus Christ cleanses us from what? All sin. While I walk in the light. It continually washes. That's what your eyeball does, doesn't it? Yeah, most have eyeballs, and we have that with eyes, you know. And the blinking. What are they blinking for? Wash them, wash them, wash them, wash them, wash them, wash them, wash them. Aren't you glad your windshield wiper never breaks? It just runs. Now, God, that's how I'm supposed to live. That's how I'm supposed to go. So if I'm trying to go do some dumb thing out of my own whatever, I can do that. I can mess my life up something fierce. But there's no need for it. And thank God. Thank God, verse 9, if we confess our sin, faithful and just to forgive us our sin, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, and we're right back walking again. How long did that take? 3 seconds. How long did it take to fix that? 2 seconds. That's all. And it's done. And you move forward. It's an awesome thing. So, I got to quit. But I hope you got a little bit. I'm trying to get you 2 things. Enjoy being saved. Be saved. And be, moment by moment, he could come. You're going to have lunch? Maybe. Right? You're going to go and get out of the seat? Maybe. He may come. You plan everything and do everything as best you can, but you always understand that at any moment he could come. We'll pray. Our God and Father, we thank you for your grace and kindness and help us. God, we don't want to read a whole lot of things all the time that never happen, never take place, just a whole lot of words. And God, we end up not very good shape. So God, you got to help us. We see it, we try to understand it, we want to understand, we want to put the pieces together properly. God, we don't want to be tricked or deceived in our own heart, by our own heart. God, no, no. So you got to help us, God. Thank you for your presence. Thank you, Spirit of God. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your wonderful person, presence, and Father, that we can look to you to help us in all of this. So God, we want to enjoy just knowing and being saved, knowing we're going to end up with you, God. That's what it's all about, to end up in your arms, in your house, on the seat with your son. God, thank you, thank you, thank you. For those who know you not as Lord and Savior, God, convict, convince them that they believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And our God will thank you. Thank you very much, God. Thank you. In Christ's name, amen.